Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. Right there on the right, stupid.
Hi guys, we here at Lesson Love are reaching out to our fans to help us rename the show. Help us think of a creative name, and not only will you get bragging rights for coming up with the new name, you'll also win a $25 Google Play gift card. Tweet your ideas to at More Like Bomzy, at More Like Kitty, at DarkFox001, or at Lust and Love Radio. Contest ends January 20th.
This is John Benjamin, and you're listening to the Nerd Hour.
How's it going, guys? What's up? We're here. We're the Nerd Hour. Do I have...
We're here. We're queer. Get used to it.
Uh-oh. Well, look who's back.
Huh? What?
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 You're echoing.
No, I'm not. You are.
I can hear myself.
Oh, well, whatever. They can't hear it, so shush. Anyway, we're back. Had a little week off. The volume may seem a little low. I could just easily fix that here, you know. So again, we had a week off. I needed a couple days off from just doing whatever. So, Cornax, you know, he took a little time off. He had to reset, and we're good now.
We weren't going to say anything until someone mentioned it.
#4 fourth wall punchy.
Yeah, really. I mean, just 5 minutes before we started, let's not say anything. Let's wait until someone said something. Yeah. Boom, let's go.
I'm the fourth wall Kool-Aid man, all right?
No, you're the fourth wall shock master.
No. You see, because I pound through them, I don't just stumble through. I purposely destroy them. So now, he said the music and the sound are just, yeah. For some reason, they were kind of low. I think I didn't want to over-modulate on the music, so I, you know, just didn't put it up. Now, I do want to talk off-topic for 1 second and address something, because I wasn't able to address it in chat earlier, because I was at work while this was going on this week and last week. But there's someone who has been going into the chat, bad-mouthing One Halls of It's All About Me, and... you probably won't hear this, or maybe someone will get the word out, but let's just say, probably not the best of ideas, Cretan JK. Probably not one of the better ideas out there.
Yeah, let's just say you don't call a woman who organized, you know, a cancer benefit a cunt.
Yes, and especially one who is now on a station with the animals that are on this station, with the listeners that listen to the shows on this station. Just saying. I mean, listen, I was in a feisty mood tonight. I was pissed off. The Seahawks somehow won despite playing like shit. I was annoyed, and I felt like doing a fight on Twitter. And it took me too long to find out what his new Twitter name was before I could lay just bombs at him.
Twitter rage.
Twitter rage. I needed to let it out so I could be in a good frame of mind for tomorrow, for the game, for the big game.
Like little Matt did on Thursday.
Yeah, but I don't like lesbian Asian singers.
Oh Jesus, he really does look like Katie Lang.
I felt bad because I during that break on 360 and 420, the one that was like before me not being on the show for the rest of the night, I actually fell asleep during the break.
Oh my!
Yeah, I did.
I was wondering what happened to you.
Here's what happened, because the tough part is. Here's my Wednesday to Thursday. Wednesday I work 10 to 6, and then I do Markout Radio until 1 in the morning. And then I have to wake up at 6 in the morning the next day to go to work till 4 o'clock. Last night, we were up later because we just went over 1 o'clock and I was up till like 2. So I got 4 hours of sleep, did an 8-hour shift at work, I was going to take a nap, and then Cousin Joe came on and it was fantastic as usual, so I couldn't fall asleep. And then I found out during that night that 360 and 420 starts early now.
I fell asleep right as Cousin Joe's show ended. So I woke up to the MLR chat page just full of nothing, but just this night of – I looked at it and I was – I have to listen. Oh, my God. It's glorious. Everyone, download 360 on 420 from this Thursday. Go to morelikeradio.org. Download it from the RSS feed. It is awesome.
Yes. Now, I do want to mention a few things about the Nerd Hour. Not anytime soon, but starting sometime in the new future. The near future. Shut up.
I'm saying.
Sometime in the near future. And, oh, yeah, Cornax, I'm going to tell you about this off air after the show. We will be getting an official producer of the show.
Dutch?
No.
Mitch?
No.
Someone else with a name ending in TCH?
No.
What?
We are getting an official producer because the fact that I'm using one computer to run the stream, record the audio, and do the Skype call, probably not the best idea. Probably not. So, yeah, it's going to happen in the near future. There will be an announcement when it happens, but it was discussed, and I'm definitely game for that because it gives me a chance to be able to do different things aside from worrying about whether or not the stream's going to shit out because my Lenovo has a bad hardware issue, and Lenovo.
What is that name?
It's a computer brand. It's my laptop. It's a Lenovo.
I've heard of Acer. I've heard of Dell. I've heard of Max. I've never heard of that. What was the name?
Lenovo.
Dude,
you mean you didn't see the massive Lenovo product placement in Transformers Dark of the Moon?
No.
Like, dude, Lenovo...
Actually, I haven't seen the movie.
All right. You know how Vizio is a poor people's brand, like offshoot of Sony?
Yes.
Lenovo is a poor people's offshoot for IBM.
Okay.
That's what Lenovo is.
I really cannot hear a Lenovo and not think of bonobos. Because those are for anyone who doesn't know, bonobo are those little monkeys that just greet each other. They literally greet each other by fucking. That's how they handshake.
Yeah.
And anytime I hear Lenovo, instead of a laptop, I just think of Punchy sitting at a desk with two monkeys humping in front of him.
Yeah. So I didn't realize this because, like, I'm kind of tech savvy, but, like, compared to the average person I am, but I'm not truly tech savvy. Like, there's my level of expertise when it comes to things involving computers, not as high as it should be. But Bunchy, again, yeah.
We're talking to the people who have been able to convince you that the show is getting fucked up from the chat. I think they know you're not tech savvy.
Yeah, well, shut up. So,
I'm just saying.
All right, well, still, I'm making a point here, though. But I recently found out that the reason my internet keeps getting kicked off, first off, it's not an internet issue. It's not the optimum Wi-Fi, or not Wi-Fi, but the optimum internet wired in, which it can't be. Because guess what, guys? Anyone who says it's, as Hammy calls it, my Boost mobile internet, Cousin Joe has the same kind of internet. Same exact. So it's definitely not that.
I don't know why. Because in our area, you can get Fios.
Yep. Well, it's probably not his decision to make.
Okay, good point. But I'm just saying.
Now, the problem is my network adapter, I guess, has some sort of problem where it keeps having to be reset. So it's something that's not going to be fixed until I either have the computer just completely wiped, which will mean after I take everything that's on my hard drive and put it onto... onto an external hard drive, which I'm going to do soon. I was going to do it after Christmas, and then I said, fuck it, I'm going to wait till after the wedding. The Royce Marie wedding in February.
That I wasn't invited to God.
Well, you weren't, like, part of the inside.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. You would have.
I'm laughing about it. Don't, dude. Trust me. I know.
Yeah, I'll be driving down with Western Echo, his girl, and possibly the power couple of Alcohol by Volume Tuesdays from 6 to 8, only on More Like Radio. That's right.
You did it. You plugged.
Unlike people on other stations, I know the schedule of the shows on More Like Radio. So there's that. Let's see. All right. So I meant
what other stations? I filled the other ones.
Good point. I took a jab at a dead station. I made a warning to some dickhead who keeps messing with Halls and Rorschach, and now we're going to get to the nerd stuff. So there's a topic me and Cornax have. Hold on, Dennis is in chat. So Cornax and I have been, talking about lately because it's something that's kind of hit both of us lately.
Getting scanned by internet sellers.
Yes. Now, because I've kind of been wanting to broaden the horizons as far as topics we talk about here. And one big aspect of nerd culture that we kind of just always never talk about, which is weird because it's things that we're passionate about, are collectibles. I mean, like, we collect different things. Like, Cornax, for example, collects like action figures and movies, he especially collects Transformers, and he's showing one of his Transformers on the video feed, but I don't have a video feed for the show, so he's really just showing me. I do collect action figures, which I'm sure will just go over well with the More Like Radio crowd. Like, if I look up, I can see, two wrestling figures, and for the smartasses, yes, one of them is Cesaro, and the other one is Punk. And then a little up higher, I've got some, football figures, Kaepernick and Vernon Davis. I look to my left, I'll see a Deadpool action figure from Marvel Select. I look to my right, I'll see a Marvel Universe Punisher and Captain America in package figures. So, I get those. I also...
Just entertaining myself by making Skywarp dance on the camera.
I know, turn the camera off, it's distracting.
Never!
Yes, now, especially because I'm running everything at once on this computer. All right.
That's why we need a producer.
Exactly. We need a producer.
And then we can start doing the show shirtless and,
just trying to do my show, guys. And then I'm going to try to touch both my walls because apparently you can do that if you do radio shows shirtless, according to White Trash from Long Island. But
I've been in your room. You can touch your both walls.
Hurtful, hurtful. Listen, I know that prison cells have bigger dimensions than my room, but it doesn't have to be rubbed in. So,
you know what's sad about that? When I was a kid, we visited the local jail, and they showed us the cells. And the local jail, yes, the cells are actually bigger than your room, Punchy.
Yeah, why were you in the Scared Straight program?
No, it was just a tour, because we had basically police officers... blah, blah, blah. Come in. Try and tell us drugs are bad. Drugs are bad. Meanwhile, the whole DARE program, I didn't know half of these drugs until they told me what they were.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That is the odd thing, because they have the DARE program to try to educate kids about drugs, but really, it just tells them what they do. It's one of those things where it says, you can't have that. And then the kid's like, I want it.
Dude, seriously, I think it was fourth grade, they had us do a test of, a word bank and then what they mean. I didn't know I didn't know what the fuck a joint was. And then they basically tell me, a joint is a marijuana cigarette. I'm like, what? What is, a blunt is a cigar that's been hollowed out and is filled with marijuana and... I didn't know half the shit. The cops just told me.
Yes. Now, and like I said, another thing I collect, which people always – it's a running joke about me now is the Criterion movies. But those, it's weird because I collect them, but I don't consider them collectibles in some ways that I do, like the action figures, for example. Like those I open up and watch, whereas the action figures I generally keep in package unless I get a second one to, display somewhere.
I display all of them.
You do? You're one of those. You're the opens up immediately and displays it.
Oh, are you kidding me, dude? You have no idea. Mint and box collectors would fucking kill me.
I can only imagine what you've opened. But Now, there's one thing, though. Like, with certain different types of collectibles... Oh, and I do collect comics also. So just, you know, throwing that out there.
I used to. But then, you know, things kind of got weird where some of the comics I read went, like, batshit insane. I was like, I don't think I want to read this anymore.
Yeah, and listen, we're going to talk... I'm going to mention various things to worry about. And then I'm going to... Then we're going to... Me and Cornax... Well, Cornax and I, Dennis, are going to share stories... Horror stories of online shopping for collectibles, but
Jesus, yeah, it's I'm still going through it right now.
Yeah, the first thing I've got to point out, if when it comes to like action figures, like shit like that, generally, like we just said, you fall into two categories. One of which is the mint and box collector, which is more like which is definitely me,
which is a lot of times the safer route to go through.
Yes. The only problem is, though, because, listen, you're whatever you collect, if you decide, like, one day you need money and you want to sell it to get money, it's the better way to go. Not that you're getting the stuff to sell it like scalpers do, but in the back of your mind, when you're looking at it in your room, you're like, I know how much this is worth. If it was ever in a jam, I could definitely get something for this. The problem is that it's also the biggest pain in the ass because... You've got to make sure the packaging's flawless, and there's little shit you got to factor in. Like yeah. if something smells like smoke, like one time I brought a bunch of action figures to a store, sold them to a comic store. I got just over half of what I would have gotten. Like the guy knocked almost half off of what he was going to give because of the fact that they smelled a little bit like smoke. Because I've got family members who smoke, and when I have stuff out, you know, not in my room, where it's controlled, where there is no smoking in my room, then, my fault, though, so whatever. So, you gotta worry about that, whereas, like, granted, if you're the one who opens the figures, then you're not really gonna, have as much of a secondary value down the road if you're ever in a jam, but...
Actually, a lot of these figures quite expensive loose.
It depends on the figures, for the most part.
I'm just really good at finding great deals on expensive shit. Like, I got a figure that was only released in Japan in the 90s. I got it for $35, which is about what you would have paid for it back then. So I paid retail.
Yeah, all right. Well, good point. Now... but for the most part, like, for example, I'm looking at my Vernon Davis and Colin Kaepernick figures. If they were opened, much less value than unopened. Much less.
Well, that's because one of these days those people won't matter. And whereas, you know, someone might want them unboxed now, you know, down the line it's only going to be important as a collectible because no one's going to give a shit who they are.
Well, no, with sports figures, it depends on the career they have. If they've got, like, a Hall of Fame caliber career when they retire, the prices go up. Like, for example, I'm going to say one of my first stories. Now, two figures. Actually, I'll say three. One that I owned, two that I used to own, actually, and one that I could have bought. Because McFarlane Toys, Spawn Toys, they do a line of sports figures called Sports Picks. And back in the day, I used to really be into collecting them. And, big time. Like, I would buy pretty much everything they'd put out. Like, I had a massive collection of them. And no Red Sox. Anything Patriots is worthless. Eat a dick. So, I would buy everything pretty much for them. Because I wanted to have the sets and collect them. But... I used to work at Toys R Us at the time when I was really into collecting them. So I was the dickhead employee who would get there before the store opened and then
would take them out of the shipping box and put them off to the side and buy them later in the day, wouldn't you?
You bet your ass I would.
You fucker.
Dude, like, for example, I'll go to a certain specific series, NFL Series 5, which had I believe it had Jerry Rice. Who else? Ray Lewis was in that one, I think, and Tom Brady, all in that series. Now, Jerry Rice was a Raider at the time, but he had an alternate that was, what was it? It was Rice as a Raider was the main one. Rice as a 49er was like the secondary one. So obviously that was one that I wanted. First mistake I made was I bought one and I had a chance to get a second one. A guy that I worked with was like, oh yeah, I got the 49ers Rice one. If I'd have just shut my mouth, I could have bought a second copy and sold it. I could have. And turn off video. No, seriously, it's I don't want it to eat up, you know, speed on my computer. So, okay. So I could have had two of those, didn't. Oh, well. Then, like I said, Ray Lewis, there was a purple jersey one. I bought it. I sold it to a collector for, I think I got a good amount for it. I mean, I got a decent amount for the figure. Lo and behold, a few years later, it balloons up to $100 for the figure. I was pissed.
That was your fault.
I was pretty pissed. But at the same token, I had bought a Michael Vick one. It was his rookie figure, and it was the variant with him in the black jersey. It was $100 at the time. Got that value. This was before, and I unloaded it before the dogfighting bullshit. So, you know, I got rid of it before the price went down completely.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had the purple jersey Ray Lewis, the 49ers Rice, and then there was a Tom Brady figure, and there was two different variations. One was his blue jersey, and the other was blue jersey with like a snow-covered base. So I saw one that was the blue jersey, didn't pick it up because it didn't have the snowy base, and I was like, no, I'm going to get the snowy base one. So, yeah, I don't pick it up, and that's another one that goes up in value that I could have had.
You are just really terrible.
I really am. But at the same time, though,
meanwhile, I'll find a figure that's worth $60 now and pick it up for $10.
No, you know what else sucks? One time I went to a sports collectible thing, like in one of the malls by me. They used to do that. So there's this one guy. He's got a booth up. He's selling McFarlane figures. I look at it. I have $35 I can spend. I have two choices. Terrell Owens variant, which was Terrell Owens in our white 49ers jersey, as opposed to the red one, that's the right main figure. Or I could have picked up Emmett Smith's regular one from the first series, right before he broke this all-time rushing record.
You chose the wrong one.
I chose the Owens one. Which, I mean, I'm a 49ers fan, and I hate the Cowboys, but, like, as far as being a collector,
you chose the wrong one.
As a collector, that one hurt.
Uh-huh.
And this was, like, right before Terrell Owens ended up going to stupid Philadelphia. Western Echo, by the same token, at the same time, pick one. I'm not good at...
You said at the same token. I was trying not to correct you.
Well, don't worry, because there's always someone in chat who will correct you, no matter what. So, now, you've got to always make the right choice when you're actually collectible shopping, if you're doing it at the store level. Let's see, how does a 49er stand change a light bulb? They don't, they just talk about how good the old one was. Hey, listen, all about the now. Gonna take down Cam Newton and then fucking beat up Seattle. But anyway, that's besides the point. Different topics. Now, again, though. You go on eBay, there's always the chance of being fucked over. Always. There's that risk. So you're putting trust of your own money into someone else that they will deliver the item that you say that you're buying. And listen, most of the time what you're looking for, you're fine. Okay? It's rare that I've been screwed on eBay. I'll point out, I've been screwed on eBay as much as I've been screwed on Amazon. So there's really not much of a difference, but because it's interesting to say stories about these situations, and I'm going to do my stories first because Cornax is epic in scale and just how he went about responding to it. But I've got a.
I refer to it as I pulled a Royce.
Yeah, he pulled a Royce on an eBayer. So yeah, and now I can hear myself. But anyway, My first time ever shopping on eBay, I had some money, put it on my PayPal. I bought a few things. those things, you might ask? They were Marvel Universe figures. They were like the 3 3/4 inch figures. And there were a few that were like a little up there in price, but I wanted them because I was collecting them at the time. And one of them was, I believe it was Iron Fist, the character Iron Fist. I bought that. I think I paid like $15 or more for it. So I wait, never get the figure. Even though I sent the money, never get the figure. After a few weeks, and I can't remember the username of this guy now to save the life of me, but at the time, there was an eBay user who was scamming like collectors of like nerdy figures, like especially the Marvel Universe ones. You would get the figure and he would just never pay. Like that was his MO. Like he was notorious for it. Fortunately, though, there was a bright side though, because I filed a claim with PayPal and they gave me the money back. And I wound up doing the life-changing decision of buying issues 1 through 6 of Green Lantern Rebirth. So I ended up winning out, even though I was initially screwed. Another one actually happened more recently. Going back to the Criterion things, and I'll give a little background on this. The Criterion Collection is a movie studio that does basically essential movies. Or they'll just certain movies that studios won't want to release, like versions of either obscure movies that were iconic for whatever reason in their field, or just versions of movies that they don't want to put out and they'd rather just have someone else do the legwork for them. Red Sox, you've been screwed on eBay as much as you've been screwed by a real woman, he says. Good point, but still, dick. At least I can see in 3D. Anyway. The problem with collecting these is once a movie goes out of print, A, they get expensive on the secondary market, and B, older out of print ones are for some people very easy to counterfeit. Very easy to bootleg. So I've had for the most part good luck, and then I went to Amazon and saw a John Woo movie called Hard Boiled on there. And it's one of the like first 10 movies they put out, so it's got like a low numbered spine number, and yeah, that's what they do. They give them spine numbers. There's 2 John Woo movies on the collection. One is Hard Boiled. One is The Killer. So I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna order both of them, and their out of print version of this is Spinal Tap. So I knew that the 3 movies were a high risk of being counterfeit or being bootleg. And I was thinking if it's any movie, it's going to be The Killer. It's going to be The Killer because the price was really low. People are selling the movie for $75 on Amazon. I bought it for $45, which is just above what you could buy the movie new for. It was used like new, but still, like again, like I said, out of print. So I get the movies, and I'm like, all right, moment of truth. Time to open these motherfuckers and see. The Killer was the first one I inspected because, again, I thought that was going to be the one that was counterfeit. I look it up. I knew what to look for. It had a frosted white ring in the center. Didn't have paint. It had different reflector levels for the artwork. Had the Nimbus logo. Matte artwork. Okay, real. Check, this is Spinal Tap. Matte artwork. Double-sided disc. Real. Hard-boiled. Glossy artwork. Gold bottom disc, which a real one does also have, no Nimbus logo. I bought a fake.
Yep. Which is a shame because Hard Boiled is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, but there's a plus to this because I am going to find and buy a legit copy. And I actually do have one that I have saved in my Amazon thing, my Amazon cart. And that's going to be the one that I pick up if it's still there when I get paid. Because it's like just under $30, and I already got the checklist of certain features on the item by the seller. But because I picked 3 sellers and I asked for, listen, does it have glossy artwork or matte? Is the disc gold or silver? Does it have a Nimbus logo or not? And all this stuff. 3 guys, I asked the question. Here are the answers I got. The first one. Who, you know what? I am going to go to Amazon and get his name because this guy deserves a beating for what he said.
Cornax knows the story.
Oh, do I?
And listen, I'm not petty and all that, but you know what?
I am, however.
Yeah, goddammit, I've got a radio show. And unfortunately for this eBay Amazon user, he doesn't. So I am just going to be nasty about this motherfucker. Because fuck him. What a douche. Okay, now, his name, as I'm pulling it up right now, because, wow, $50 for a new copy of Hard Boiled. I may have to consider that, actually. Because, shit. I mean, that's actually pretty good. And I think the one that I was going to buy is fucking sold. Shit. Anyway, the money for the wife is the name of this Amazon seller. Avoid money for the wife. Why do I say avoid money for the wife? Because here is what this motherfucker told me when I asked him about specifications of the movie. Because I told him, I even sent an email, I was very polite. Listen, I got burned on this item before, I just want to make sure before I buy another copy that it's not one that may or may not be, counterfeit. I just want to make sure. So, here's his response. Ready for this one, guys? Ready to see this one? His response, and I quote, "We don't sell counterfeits. That's your verification."
Douche.
What a dick. And I'm pissed now because, like, if he'd have just given me the list or just said, "Listen, I can't do that. We got so much inventory. It would just be too good time consuming." That would have been fine. I would have even taken the chance on getting it because the price wasn't that bad. No, he had to be a douche about it. So guess what? Money for the wife. The wife is not getting the $33. Douche.
But she is getting a black eye via Susan Dean. You know what? Fuck it.
Circa.
It was a dead joke before I even said it.
Yeah, that joke was so dead, the mafia would have put it in a meat locker to preserve the evidence, or to destroy the evidence.
That joke was so dead, it's the end of Steve and Susan's relationship.
Oh, anyway. So, the second one, the guy was very nice about it, reads off the stuff, but it's a fake. Silver bottom, no logo, glossy artwork. The next guy gives the list, all the right stuff. And I had it in my cart, and someone bought it. So now I gotta keep looking. I may just spend the extra money and buy it new, because fuck it, why not? But it's weird though. Like I said, I should probably be happy because the two that are the most expensive in the secondary market that I got for good prices are real, and the one that was not as expensive of the three that I got for the same price that you would usually pay wound up being the fake. So, two out of the three, not bad at all.
Yeah. Just, one out of the three is shit.
Yeah.
And you deserve your money back.
I do have, and the ridiculous part is there's one movie that I really want to get on there. Oh. Red Sox in chat. You should take his word for it. You are the dick for not believing this honest gentleman. Maybe so. But still, what a cunt. Now, we're going to shift over to another topic of collectibles because, Cornax, you've got a story, and go.
Oh, well, I happened to buy two items from this one gentleman, both listed as new, like new, and complete. Which, when you hear like new and complete, you imagine them to be exactly that, correct? You expect all the pieces, and you expect it to be in pretty good condition, especially for something that's been used.
Now, yeah, let's get a description here. Let's get an explanation here, because when one lists something as like new, what they're basically saying is the only difference between this and new is that it's not in the packaging, in the sealed packaging that would make it brand new. That's the only difference. The otherwise, everything is in the same condition that it would be if it was brand new in the package. That includes all accessories.
Yes. In fact, let me see if... because one thing I did do was I screen capped the original listing so that he couldn't change it on me. Hi. Thanks for checking in. I will be selling quite a few interesting toys and game items in the coming weeks. So please, if you don't get what you want for Christmas, take a look. Today I have a Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Swerve, like new and complete, and I always try to combine shipping whenever possible. Good luck. A short list of what I have listed, World's Smallest Transformers, blah, 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 blah. It's just the listing. Basically, for the next one, same exact thing, except replace Swerve with Skyhammer. Both say, like new and complete. All right, so I pull up, I get them, I come home from work, I open the box, what do I find? Skyhammer is missing his gun. That's not complete. And Swerve, well, one of his wings falls off.
Hold on. Dennis in chat. You guys, expecting to get exactly what you paid for as advertised? What communist you are.
I find it hilarious that the Russian is calling us communists.
Soviet Ukraine.
Oh, yes. Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, keep going.
And Swerve, not only did his wing come off, but also his head came off. And I thought, you know what, it's not too much of a big deal. With the gun, I can just ask the seller if he can send that for me. And with Swerve, I can just reattach the head and the panel. Wing panel went on fine. Head, I could not reattach it for the life of me. And it's supposed to pop on. It's a ball joint. So the only way it would have been like that is if, like, I even unscrewed it and tried to put it right around the ball joint and screwed it back together. Completely gone. So the only way that this could have happened is if this condition was pre-existing. Because it can't be me fucking up if I literally pull it apart, put it back together over the ball joint, and it still doesn't stick. This had to have been a pre-existing problem. It was at that point where I opened the case. Why? Because I wanted every single fucking message between me and this seller to be on record between eBay, because they can look at, if you open a case, they can see every single message you send between each other. Okay? So I immediately send them this. The item was described in product information as being like new. Upon opening my package, I found these claims to be less evident. Right out of the box, the figure came with the right wing portion detached, which would be an easily overlooked issue if not for the head also popping off as I removed it from the package. This, so, would not be a big issue if not for the fact that the head does not go back on without immediately popping off again at the slightest touch. Maybe something happened in shipping and it wasn't like this when you had it, but when I received the item, it was not, quote, like new, unquote. I would like to return this item for a full refund. That was for Swerve. For Skyhammer, I said, the product listing and information clearly stated that the product was complete, but upon opening my package, I found that my item was not, in fact, complete, as Skyhammer is completely missing his mech tech weapon, a two-barreled gun that turns into a blade. It's nowhere to be found in the box. If the gun cannot somehow be sent, I would like a full refund on this product. Here is the seller's response to both. Swerve first. The head was not loose and did not pop off when I had it. I would have to assume this happened as a result of removing it, since it seems that it was damaged at this time. That being said, these toys are ball-jointed and designed to pop off rather than break, so maybe the head is not seated properly. I can't say, but I know it did not have these problems when I shipped it. And here is the reply for Skyhammer. I do not have the mech tech piece you described. The item was listed as complete since it was not missing any parts or arms or whatever. I think, or whatever would cover an accessory. And everything in the picture is included. The item does not include packaging or instructions or a receipt either, and none is offered in the description. No gunner patching or instructions is listed in my description. I empathize, by the way, empathize is misspelled, with the buyer clearly expecting a new Skyhammer, but mine is used and is as complete as I listed in the picture. Obviously, douche.
Complete douche.
So here's my reply to both. Sir, I've been collecting for a while, and I take care of my figures. I don't roughhouse with them, and I certainly don't randomly pop off limbs within minutes of owning them. I know what the ball joint is intended to do, but as soon as I pulled the figure out of the box, the head popped off, and I was unable to get it back on. The fact of the matter is, when the figure arrived to me, it was in pieces, not like new. Not just the head, but the wing panel, which I realized I accidentally said was the right one in my previous message. It was, in fact, the figure's left wing that was on my right while facing it, thus including all of the facts that I could. Boom.
Preach, brother, preach.
And here's how I describe, confront his definition of complete. A listing marked as complete is assumed to be complete unless the seller writes, complete with everything shown in pictures, or figure itself is complete but missing accessories. I do not expect instructions or packaging for an item to be classified as complete, but I do expect every part of the figure, including accessories, if it is listed as complete. Otherwise, the listing is misleading. I did not expect a brand new item. I clearly expected a used one, but I expected it to be, quote, like new and, quote, complete as stated in the listing. I have even taken screenshots of the original listing and gone back through to see that it clearly just says complete and like new. There was nothing about it only being complete with what was in the picture, as the figure was not complete as was described in the listing. I would like to return this package for a full refund of my money.
And there you go.
And I also made sure to screen cap and document any return policy he had. He doesn't have a return policy. So basically he's whatever. And it turns out that the address that sent it to me is not technically his address. So when I sent it back, despite him giving me a new address, I looked at the wrong one. Thus, I have to figure that out, and the package will probably be returned to me. I probably have to send it out again to the proper address, thus spending more money on it.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to be going for the cheapest option.
Which would be?
I don't know. I'm certainly not sending it priority again.
Fuck that noise. Fuck it. Like, why do that? But here's the thing, though, with people. The good thing, and again, the good news with if you get scammed, is the fact that let's say most of the time, if you've got a legit case, you're going to win.
Oh, yeah, and he offered me a full refund. And, once the item is returned and fucking, so I have to figure out a way to get the USPS to change the address, which they probably won't do because I can't fucking get to them.
So it'll probably be sent back to you.
Yeah, and I probably have to send it again.
More than likely. That sucks.
Yep.
Whatevsies. Again, though, if someone does scam you on eBay, file a claim. File a report right away. Because...
And document everything. Screenshot everything. Yeah. I did everything. Because if this fucker has his own store, he sells his own items as well. And a bad review would have fucked him over. In fact, he did get bad reviews from that day from other customers who bought Transformers. Yeah, he's already taken hits. I gave him an out, pretty much.
So what's his name on eBay?
Oh, Profane Creations.
Profane.
Buyer beware.
Profane Creations, buyer beware. And just like money for the wife, buyer beware. Because, like, first off, how the fuck are you going to call something complete when it's missing accessories? How? I don't get it. It's fucking
yeah, that's not,
retarded.
That wasn't even the first time that's happened to me.
Really? Well, maybe stop buying from people who call themselves Profane Creations.
No, it was another guy who was selling an item really cheap, but it was missing a gun and a missile. but because it's usually listed at around $80, and I got for $50, and I was a kid, because I was still young and still new to collecting, I didn't want to challenge it, because I didn't want to, you know, risk anything. So, that was me being stupid.
Damn.
Yep.
Oh, man. Fucking people.
Nah. As you said, well, I described it as mint in box because that's what condition it's in. It doesn't have any scratches or anything. It's not like I said it was complete in box.
But you pretty much did.
You know what? And I regret never challenging that because I felt like it was my fault. You know, I'm an idiot. I should have looked better at the pictures clearer and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, now I don't take that shit, which is why I completely snapped on this guy.
Yeah,
I wasn't getting scammed again.
You snapping on people? No.
No. That's so unlike me.
I've never heard of you doing that.
Well, be fair. I'm unless it's on the internet, I'm usually very calm.
Yeah. Red Sox in chat. Moral of the story, stop buying gay action figures. Yar!
Hey. Hammy? And okay, well that's not a good endorsement, Hammy. But Kevin, also from Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays from 6 to 8, collects Transformers.
Not only that, but Kevin's got a wife. Well, that too.
Kid.
That too. But I was saying he's got like a Transformers tattoo sleeve.
Yeah, he does.
So, which is all, and it looks awesome. If you ever see Kevin, like maybe at the More Like Radio Live event, which may or may not be happening, I'm already spreading rumors. You know, you might get to see Kevin. You might get to see his tattoo. So, if we do another MLR Live, which I hope does happen, ask him to check it out.
Fuck?
It's from Poltergeist.
Okay.
The trauma movie.
Okay. What the fuck does this have to do with what you were saying?
Not a fucking thing.
Okay.
But I never said it had anything to do with what I was saying.
So what? This isn't like a random listener posting something nonsensical in the chat. This is the host.
What?
Explain yourself.
What? I can't be the main host of a show and post a picture at the same time? Come on now.
You have to give a reason.
Hey, look, Oxtail says he likes Alcohol by Volume. Red Sox in chat, putting a picture of Kevin in his goth days, which is a hilarious photo, by the way. Red Sox, he also looks like that. Well, he used to look like that. Now, let's see, what would I say he looks like now? Kevin looks like a hockey fan now.
Wow.
Like...
That's a ringing endorsement.
No, I'm just saying, when you think Northeast hockey fan, you think someone that looks like Kevin from Alcohol by Volume. Like, kind of the 5 o'clock shadowy or beard type look. He'll usually wear beanies. He just looks like a hockey fan. And he is a hockey fan, so it's not like I'm breaking new ground here or saying he looks like something he's not. But, you know, whatevsies. So, like I said, if you do decide, if there is a memoir live and you do go, ask Kevin to show you the gun with the Transformers tattoo. Unless he gets the other tattoo he's talking about where he, like, one arm is Decepticons and the other one is Autobots. So, Voxtail in chat, Punchy got bored with the chat room, so he put boobies. Yeah, I did. I posted a boob picture that I randomly saw on Twitter. So, and again, though, if you guys have a collectible story, feel free.
The cat room is Punchy's living room because that's where the cats all run through.
Well, there's two cats now.
Okay, yeah. Because, oh, God.
Fun story.
Punchy had three cats. The third one died while I was sleeping over.
Yeah. So one of the cats is like being like quiet, oddly quiet. And so Cornax spends the night. When he gets picked up to go home by his parents, because apparently we're 13,
Actually, it's more because I don't have a car because I put the money towards paying off loans.
I know, Cornax. I'm just saying that we had a movie night sleepover, and we were 13.
You were the king of oversharing, you realize.
I don't give a shit. I break down the fourth walls. Break the walls down, Jericho.
Shockmaster.
No.
Yes.
But no.
Yes.
I don't even look like him that much anymore, so relax.
Anymore.
Anymore. So, he leaves. All of a sudden, oh yeah, by the way, the cat died. I'm like, really? That's just... And my cat, by the way, looked like a decrepit version of Cartman's cat. Like, that was this cat. So, that happened. And I'd say we're close enough to 1 o'clock. Guess what we're doing, guys? We're taking a break. And then, yeah, we're taking a break, and then we're going to hit some topics.
Okay.
Yes. So, we're the Nerd Hour. We're the Nerd Hour. We will be right back after these words and songs.
Penis.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Are you a comedian that has trouble?
Everybody's a hack, I know. Everybody's a hack, I get it. Shut up. Swing. I'm a dopey fucking shit comic.
You're an asshole.
Fuck you. Was there really a ramrod in? That's a cock joke. Swing. I'm not an unpleasant person. You know what I'm having for the first time today?
Period.
Shut up. I'm fucking busy. Insert queer joke here. Call me a faggot and hit me with a stick.
I think he's a comic.
I love you.
Gave me the finger.
Fuck you. Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh. Fucking jerk-offs.
Not bad for a guy that's got nothing.
Shut up. I'm not an unpleasant person. Fuck you. Conti Kenny Show. Fuck you. Dicks.
Wait, why is that guy gargling?
This is your morning wake-up call.
Get up.
It's how I get my morning started. They're my morning show.
All right, here's a little inside info. They're not even real listeners. These are staged people, and you hear the same thing across the entire country. And that's why Hammy, the true American, is going to serve his country and expose these hack shows for what they are.
Only on Brain Steam Radio. Friday nights, 8 to 10 on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Many of us grew up reading the works of Jules Verne and books like Treasure Island, great classic fantasy novels. I love reading fantasy, but most of the fantasy novels released today read like a role-playing game. I'm interested in characters and stories when reading fantasy novels, and I found a fantasy novel written with the story and the characters as the focus. The book is titled Daughter of Vengeance, and the author is David Timrick. David Timrick is a self-published author who has written several books, and they are all top-rated on Amazon. Daughter of Vengeance is a story about a young lady who's thrust into a world of espionage, betrayal, and murder. A survivor at heart, she befriends a master assassin who takes her as his apprentice. After years of training and careful planning, she begins her life as one of the king's many spies. Unknown to her, a plot has slowly been unraveling, which will not only destroy the fragile peace of the king, but could descend the world into chaos and war. Can Michelle rise above the shortcomings and failures of her predecessors and set right the wrongs done centuries before? And will her life be the ultimate price she pays for the sins of others? You'll have to read Daughter of Vengeance by David Timrick to find out. So visit his website, davidtimrick.com, to buy your copy today. David Timrick, T-E-M-R-I-C-K. R-I-C-K, DavidTimrick.com. Daughter of Vengeance is available on Kindle and in paperback.
Listen to Unsigned Hype every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, on MoreLikeRadio.com. It's hosted by Sir Darkseid, a.k.a. at Darkseid Rules on Twitter. Check out the show for dope interviews, exclusive releases from artists such as Brother Ali, Mally, Kelly Mays, Lex Leosis, MOA, and Aesop Rock. It doesn't get better than this. Every Tuesday night on MoreLikeRadio.com, it's the Unsigned Hype.
Unsigned Hype. Frontline, never known flurry. Zero dark dirty. Zero friends, minotaur, fugly stepchild. A boat lunch jumped over plunging net lines. Up beside tongue tied, hungry enzymes. Devolved in a morph men, munching textiles. Punish them out
past. Fuck your motherfucking clip. Let me get back on my ego shit. Yeah, this beat was kinda nice, so now I'm about to steal this shit. Own it, train it, make it mine, and throw it in the deepest pit. Cause after I done blown your minds, can't no one come and see this shit. I'm the hip-hop Kage, best in the world, don't agree, so sorry. Hashtag heel, shocking like an eel. And when I hop up on the track, I only keep it real. Like, what's the deal with these niggas in the game that be swearing that they dope when they actually lame? Like this dude Chief Keith, this nigga 2 Chainz, and Aesop fucking Rocky even stole his fucking name from Aesop Rock. So motherfucker, stop. You are not near hot. You're in the wrong spot.
Side, you sound jealous.
Nah, motherfucker, I'm only showing my zealous through these malicious words. I thought you niggas heard. I told you that I'm better than and killing off these herbs. I'm an MC and a nerd. I'm flyer than a bird. I'm sick of all this backward shit. It's getting type absurd. And now Lupe wants to call it quits over a stupid bitch. And fucking Nicky's click, cause he's intelligence. These fans are ignorant. This is the stupid shit that makes me get belligerent. Ah! And wanna bite some fucking heads off. I call them out on Twitter, but they mass off. So when I meet them, I'm slapping their fucking faces off. It's hashtag goodbye face. Think I ain't serious?
Hold up, man, calm down. Chill side, I got this. It's time to put an end to all things monotonous. Niggas really think they understand this art of rhyming. But while my flows, they leaving the competition behind me. And I be that 5 foot sensei. Killing these rappers with the flow that's all blames. All day with my nigga Darkseid. And we giving no fuck, so do what DFD says and get your fucking bars up. Ring the alarm, bruh. These niggas want war, bruh. I know said this shit before, but you rap niggas don't want none. I'm Ichigo Kurosaki, riding on a Kawasaki with my Bankai in hand. Beheading you rap phonies up. Rapper with a temper, so my nigga do not test me. And I got this shit unlike on the illest a lot of entry. I don't think you motherfuckers understand it. I've been spitting hard as granite since Goku first fought on planet Namek. Damn it, and why the fuck he ain't signed yet, a newcomer with the skills of a rap vet. And I ain't even done yet. You think you stopping me and my team? You're in court rap. I rap iller than most these whack lyricists who think complicated rhyme schemes means they are killing shit. Damn, and I don't mean to burst your bubble. If you're messing with my team, that means you're asking for trouble. I'm skilled with the lyrics, you will never catch me fumble. It's just me and my affiliates all up in the huddle, plotting our takeover. If you're against us, it's game over. I'm just a venomous rapper with the spit of the King Cobra. I'm killing everything in sight with the power of a mic. Even on my deathbed, you niggas ain't 3 times as nice. And don't let me get in my zone. I'm just a savior prince, raising to the top of his throne. Time to get grimy in the trenches where you find me. Lyrically spinning with perfect precision, killing these niggas with perfect timing. And if you come at me with that rap evil, I'll crack open your head and piss in your hollowed out skull. I'm done.
Damn.
And you motherfuckers ain't messing with my click, click.
Hell nah.
DCMG, baby.
And Darkseid. Tell them what we came to do, man.
Attacking all these rap clones.
Yo, yo, and we go, and we go, and we go, and we go. I say we go, we go, we go, we go, we going, 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 going.
Talk radio meltdown. He just.
wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh,
so everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, the song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse, like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric? I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
Hey everybody, this is Alexa. You can hear my Uncle Sean say terrible things on the Hippo Juice Show. Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Followed by the Red Show from 9 to 11. And now Mark Out Radio with Big T and Dark Fox is on Wednesday too. Join them during their new time slot, 11 to 1 a.m., only on morelikeradio.com.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh, boy.
I told you.
Yeah, I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. One night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Yeah, AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold Like This happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on morelikeradio.com.
Yeah, we're back, bitches.
Well, almost. I have still 2 bites left in my sandwich.
Oh, he's got 2 bites left, everybody. Guess what that means? No one knows what that means? No one probably cares what that means. So, again, we're back. We took a little bit of a break here. Now got some ads through.
One bite.
One bite? All right, he's counting down the bites that he has left. That's getting interesting. But, I do want to point something out, and that is the fact that American Hustle...
All gone.
American Hustle might be my favorite movie of 2013. When I did my list of favorite movies from the year, I hadn't seen the movie yet. After watching American Hustle, it's definitely my favorite movie of the past year. Easily. I'm going to do a quick review. I don't know if Cornax, I don't know if you've seen that movie. Or he's still eating, isn't he? Cornax. Hello? Whatever. Oh, boy. So, anyway, as I'm hearing Skype noises on here, all right, let's just check here. Oh, of course. Of course. All right, I'm going to have to kill some time here, kill the call, wait for my shit to fucking... All right, again, you know, I mean, whatevsies. Internet goes out because, again, like I said, this fucking piece of shit computer has a bad... What was it? A bad network adapter for wired internet? And it's funny because I had this conversation yesterday, and again, I'm going to keep this section in the middle because why the fuck not? I mean, I don't see any reason to not keep it in here. Maybe I'll keep out some dead air when Cornax wasn't, you know, talking about it. But whatevsies. Not going to get derailed. So once it comes back, which is going to be in a second, because what the fuck. We're, you know, just chilling here. Whatevsies. And I'm just killing time to go back here. But, you know, I'm going to review... American Hustle once everything's back on here. Because I do want the... I don't want to... I'm not like WWE with their goofy-ass app where people got a fucking... All right, we're back. So, yes, Cornax is back on. I just got to put the note for everybody to refresh. So, hey. All right. We're back. Again, remember when I mentioned earlier in the show that there was a hardware problem on my computer where with the network adapter? Guess what happened? An hour later.
Yeah. Fun.
That's all right, though. You know why? Because it doesn't disrupt the podcast because I'm recording it through Audition. Eat a dick, Lenovo. So, back to what I was saying.
Can computers eat dicks?
We'll find a way. So, Red Sox in chat, it's your Boost Mobile Internet. Yarr! So, let's see. It's not a hardware issue. Yeah, no, it's a hardware issue. Because, again, Joe Coletta has the same internet. And he has no problems with the internet. So, it's obviously the laptop.
But our call dropped, too.
Yeah, because the internet dropped.
Okay.
That's why the call dropped. And I, you know, I dropped the call because there was beeping while it was trying to reconnect the call. So I turned that off so I could just record, you know, keep the podcast going. But he did have a problem for weeks, but the problem that Joe had, Red Sox, was actually he told me it was a wire that connected to his from the outside of his house that had rotted. And once they replaced that, he's had no issues. So, what I was getting into before the call disconnected was I was reviewing the movie American Hustle, which I thought was fantastic. It's as of right now, my pick for best movie of the year. There are movies that I haven't seen that'll probably also contend. Like Her, for example, I've heard good things about. Dallas Buyers Club, I heard good things about. The Wolf of Wall Street, I haven't seen yet. And Nebraska. There's a few others, but I'll see those, and you know, I'll have another opinion formed. But so far, best movie of the year, American Hustle, and I'm going to say why too. First off, David O. Russell is a fantastic director, and he's really, really hitting a big stride. It's got a really good cast. You know, Christian Bale, who's always fantastic, unless he's mailing it in a Terminator movie. You had Amy Adams playing the lead, she's not a great actress. Some would say she's probably about average, but still, she's used effectively here. And you can't really knock a movie that lets her not wear a bra the whole fucking time.
Jesus.
She definitely went 70s for it. With the fact that every dress, she just, no bra. Jennifer Lawrence was fantastic in it. I'm a big fan of J-Law. That's right.
Did you just say that?
Yeah, I did. I'm a big fan. That's the caller on the streets. J-Law. Because, you know, everybody's got to have that nickname where it's their first initial and the first three letters of their last name if the last name begins with an L. That's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Someone Facebook messaged him early saying, American Hustle, this is Dennis. No comment on the movie. Don't know why, but these Oscar-nominated movies never work for me. Then he says, but it's a she and not a very bright she. Yeah, that's not a very bright... American Hustle is a fantastic movie. And Jeremy Renner's really good as the mayor of Patterson. Or mayor of... No, it was the mayor of Camden in the movie. Bradley Cooper... David O. Russell always seems to get good acting... Not good, but decent acting out of Bradley Cooper. Somehow he pulls it out of him. Because I think he doesn't let Bradley Cooper... play like the too old to be a frat boy. He doesn't let him do that. He's like, listen, no, just actually act for fuck's sake. Listen, you're going to be a psychotic FBI agent who puts rollers in his hair to hide his straight hair. That's what you're going to be, Bradley Cooper. Fucking relax. And then one guy who's got to get, who I've always praised this guy for everything that he does. So it's not a shock that I'm praising this guy for his work in this movie, but Louis C.K. was gold in this movie as the boss of Bradley Cooper's character. The only plot hole, the only thing I didn't like was I didn't get to hear the end of Louis C.K.'s character's fishing story. They left that there. There's a story he keeps telling parts of to Bradley Cooper's character, and you never hear the end of the story. But it's like it's made into such a good point or such a good part of the movie that you want to know the end of this story, and you don't know the end of the story. You'd never find it out. And the cool thing is De Niro has a guest spot in it too. But it's pretty much like the main cast members of the last two David O. Russell movies, The Fighter and what was the other one? Shit. The Silver Linings Playbook were pretty much in this movie. You had Christian Bale, De Niro, Amy Adams, Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper, all in it. So he's starting to get like a stable of actors that he likes a lot. And like there were small touches in the movie that I was a fan of too. It looked authentic for as far as being set in the 70s and 80s. And they even gave it like the old style intro cards too. And for the intro cards, they actually kind of put it through a filter to make it look like an older movie at first. And, you know, it's just awesome. And I can't wait. I'm going to definitely at some point see it again. It's definitely going to be a purchase when it comes out on Blu-ray, even though I know a lot of people like to go digital. But I'm definitely going to buy that movie because it's amazing. Now, with that review out of the way, because I don't think Cornax saw it yet. No, you didn't lose me again, jerk. But, oh my God, that gif of Jennifer Lawrence. Good Lord. That's a distraction. So anyway, Cornax, do you see anything good lately?
Not really, no. I haven't had much chance to watch anything.
All right. Well, since we're talking about movies, I'm going to get a couple movie stories out of the way. Hey, guys, remember when we talked about Jason Momoa possibly being in Batman versus Superman?
No.
Well, okay, good. Because guess what? He's not going to be in it. We can all breathe a sigh of relief that Goofy Samoan is not playing Martian Manhunter. Hooray! Hooray! Cornax isn't cheering. Yay! All right. I thought he would have been a bad choice for that character.
Golf clap.
He did a golf clap? All right, I'll take it. Bug it. Now, Jesse Plemons, you might know him as the creepy ginger in the last season of Breaking Bad, or the last two seasons.
Todd.
He is in talks to be in the upcoming J.J. Abrams Star Wars movie, Episode 7, which will be just hilarious, knowing that the guy who killed Jesse Pinkman's girl may very well be the next Jedi.
Sweet.
That'll be just a stark contrast to characters.
Or, you know, possibly a Sith.
Possibly. He'd be better suited
as... Which makes more sense, you know.
He'd be better suited as one, but they'll make him a Jedi. Because that's what J.J. Abrams do. All right.
He made Benedict Cumberbatch into Khan.
That is a good point. That is a good point. All right. Now, another story I'm going to point out here. Quentin Tarantino. He's making another movie. Shouldn't be that shocking to anybody. Because that's what he does. He's a director. He makes movies. But his new movie has a title.
The Hateful Eight.
The Hateful Eight. Which is clearly a nod to The Magnificent Seven, first off. Secondly, it does pretty much confirm that the movie will be a Western. Now, just to show that he's very loyal to actors who are fantastic, he's got a role written specifically for Christoph Waltz. So, Christoph Waltz, get ready for your Oscar, for your third Oscar for working for Tarantino. Also, Bruce Dern is also up for a role in the movie. You might know that he was in Django Unchained as Old Man Karukin. So,
who's the fuck?
That was Bruce Dern. He was Old Man Karukan, I think the name was.
I don't remember that name.
You probably don't, but just look up Bruce Dern in Django Unchained.
I remember Franco Nero.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't remember Franco Nero? All right.
Where's it Franco?
Franco.
Franco Nero.
Franco. Franco.
Suave.
Franco. So, we're going to do a list.
You know what? I'm going to do something that will distract Dennis for like 5 minutes.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, we're going to do a list. And this list is from IGN. And I wanted to try to avoid doing commentary of the IGN list, even though that's always been a staple of the show, because I feel like it's a little lazy of prep. But at the same time, I couldn't resist. I just couldn't. Because of the fact that they've decided to make a list of the top 25 monster movies. So, Cornax, you ready?
As I'll ever be.
All right, number 25, Monsters.
No.
Well, you're ready. Monsters from 2010. That's the Gareth Edwards Monsters, which was an out-of-the-box and low-budget approach to the genre that's been so well traversed. They made it 25. And they say it's as much a relationship drama as a monster movie in Edwards. Movie in the street-level view of how an alien invasion affects everyday people. So often we see military folks and scientists in the struggle to save the world, but Monsters is about two people who are trying to save themselves. Which, you know, I like that. It's a good, you know. And also, this is a movie that got him the gig of directing the new Godzilla. So, obviously, it's got to be good.
Godzilla.
Next one is...
Sorry, I have, you know, Loister Cult stuck in my head.
Next one is The Host, which was released in 2006. Not the shitty one that's based on the Stephanie Meyer book, but it's the Bong Joon-ho's movie.
Okay.
Yeah, inspired by the U.S. military's mistreatment of South Korea water supply in the early 2000s, The Host amps up the situation significantly, the creature being the result of this mistreatment. And it uses the movie to comment on not only the warpath-like nature of the U.S. military, but also the indifference of the South Korean government. It's worth mentioning that it's the South Korean top-grossing film of all time. Now, this is where I get pissed off, because this movie is way too low on the list. It should be a lot higher on the list. Gremlins. 23? You fucking serious?
You know what should be at 23?
What's that?
Gremlins 2.
Yeah, Gremlins 2 should be at 23. Gremlins should be close to the top 10.
Because Gremlins 2 was... Alright, a lot of people say it might not have been as good as the first one. But it's hilariously campy, and it's not trying to be the first one. It's just doing its own thing that's fun and silly, and you have to love it.
On what fucking planet is this 23 and not higher?
Where there are a lot of semi-decent monster movies?
Well, we'll see. We're going to see this. Western Echo, Monsters was extremely propagandist but fantastically shot. Fun fact about Monsters, Gareth and crew basically bummed around South America and shot scenes using natives without local authorities' permission. Shoot took 2.5 months. That's actually pretty awesome. No way Gremlins should be that low on the list.
Okay, let's move on.
Next one is Them.
The next one is Them, a movie I keep on trying to get because I missed it years ago, and now I can't find a DVD copy of it without it being a double pack with a movie I already have. For as optimistic as post-World War II America seemed, the threat of nuclear annihilation was now looming, and the idea of the atomic age permeated culture. From bomb drills in public schools to the movies of the day, Them is one of the first monster movies to use the idea of creatures created by a nuclear fallout, in this case, gigantic ants. What makes Them unique for these kind of movies is not that it's really structured as a typical monster fare. In fact, the narrative seems to start out as something entirely, but eventually become something else entirely, but eventually becomes an all-out monster movie. Jesus. It's easy to lump them into the group of 1950s boom movies that ultimately took over the genre, but even over half a century later, it retains its stealth. Some of this is just... Jesus.
The next one, which I don't think should be on the list because it's more zombie genre, and even then it's fucking debatable. A fantastic movie, though. 28 Days Later.
Zombies are monsters. Let's be fair.
Yeah, but if you're reading a list that says monster movies, you're not going to think zombie movies.
Okay, granted, you're going to think more... Well,
I don't know. Whether or not you consider them zombies, it can't be denied that the infected citizens of 28 Days Later's United Kingdom are pretty horrific. Not only are they running roughshod over London, but they're literally running. 28 Days Later holds the distinction of starting the fast zombie trend and took hold of the 2000s. That lasted pretty much until
the... No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. That was what started the fast zombie thing.
When was 28 Days Later? I'm like getting my ears screwed up. When was that movie released?
Why? What were you going to say was the brought in the fast zombies?
The Dawn of the Dead remake.
No, 28 Days Later was before that.
It was, okay.
Yeah, that's what they modeled the remake after, the zombies in the remake after, were the infected in 28 Days Later.
Okay. See, I didn't know that, so that was my fault, because I also didn't...
Oh, man. 20. There better be 19 spectacular movies on this list, because 20 is Cabin in the Woods.
Which is a really interesting movie, and I gotta say, the whole fact that... You know, I'm not going to ruin it, but let's just say J.J. Stoner would love this movie.
Yeah, just, like, it's such a fantastic movie. How the hell, like, I'm not as pissed about this as I am about Gremlins being at 23, but still, this deserves to be much higher, because it's a great movie. Probably the best horror movie of the last 10 years.
Okay, well, you said it has to be 19 good ones in, ahead of it. You gotta say.
All right, the next one I'll give, because it is the Mummy, the original.
It is the original 1932 Boris Karloff Mummy.
All right, I'll give them that. But the next one is debatable, Cloverfield.
You know what? I think that movie is really responsible with reviving the giant monster genre as a whole. As stupid as it may sound. Let's face it, Godzilla was – Final Wars was the last movie. And then you have Cloverfield come out. And that restarts this whole idea of, oh, giant monsters. Now we have Pacific Rim coming out. Now we have a new Godzilla movie coming out. We have more talks about future Pacific Rim movies, future Godzilla movies. I'm thinking Cloverfield sparked an interest in giant monsters again.
Not only that, but also – don't forget, a possible Godzilla-Pacific Rim crossover.
Exactly.
Which, and by the way, that Godzilla movie looks fantastic.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
And the next one is a personal favorite of mine, Horror of Dracula.
Yes, the Christopher Lee, one of the Christopher Lee Dracula movies.
The first Christopher Lee Dracula movie. With all the blood and gore and, oh, I love it. Love it so.
There you go. I've got to watch more of the Hammer movies because they're fantastic. The ones I've seen are fantastic.
You really do.
Next one, another classic, which, again, so far the movies after, for the most part, after Cabin in the Woods, I can say they're justified being above it. Creature from the Black Lagoon.
That's classic.
Another classic. You can't go wrong with that. Classic Universal Monsters.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Nightmare on fucking Elm Street.
All right, so it's just basically a horror movie list, but whatever. I mean, you know,
I'd say Freddy is a monster.
Yeah, good point.
Both in the traditional sense of the word and in the metaphorical sense.
All right, and that one was up there. Evil Dead 2 above that. So far they're doing well at the top 19. Then number 13, Phantom of the Opera, with probably the creepiest looking monster technically ever.
Oh yeah. Well, here's the thing. Lon Chaney was just amazing with what he could do with his face. Just absolutely astonishing.
Next one that I haven't seen yet, but I do plan on getting at some point, Vampire.
I need to get that.
Vampire, spelled Vampyr. Callback, it's actually on Criterion. Vampire's visual most striking difference from a lot of movies on this list is that, surprisingly, one of the few that hasn't been well received at the time, that wasn't well received at the time of its release. Reviews were mixed at best in 1932, but ultimately it's come to be revered as one of the great early monster movies. Its display of the vampire myth, coupled with some truly mesmerizing imagery and potent atmosphere, due mostly to being shot entirely on location. Vampire is quite a surreal experience, particularly for its era. So it could very well be that it was ahead of its time and audiences/critics simply weren't prepared for what they were seeing. As it's a late bloomer in that respect, it no doubt influenced many horror and monster movie filmmakers late in later decades. All right, makes sense. Next one, American Werewolf in London at number 11. again, makes sense. It should be up high. So far it is looking like a pretty good list in the top 19. I can't argue.
So far, they are appeasing you after you said the top 19 better be better than this. Well, so far, it looks like you're okay.
Yeah, so far it's pretty good. I mean,
no rage quit punching.
Shut up. I get tired of working. I'm rage quit punching, but whatever. Geez. Number 10.
You mad, bro?
All right, number 10 is a debatable one, but I could see why it would be this high if you make a list of all these movies. Number 10, Jurassic Park. It's got dinosaurs, so you could technically count.
We didn't really spend a lot of time on number 11. We kind of almost completely skipped over it.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to not spend a million minutes on this list.
Okay. Fine.
But
I find Jurassic Park debatable because it's kind of like calling Jaws a monster movie in that you could say that, but, you know, they're animals.
Yeah, you could.
It's like calling Cujo a monster movie.
I do feel like that it will be Jaws will be on the list somewhere. I have that feeling. But yeah. We're gonna,
The thing I can agree with.
Yeah, I completely and wholeheartedly agree with The Thing. And let's see, number 8, another one that I can completely agree with, Nosferatu.
Yep.
You can't argue that movie. The Fly, number 7.
The remake is what they're referencing,
yeah,
which
the remake
was actually pretty decent. You know, that's one of those few remakes where people have actually said the remake could be better than the original.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it is because I haven't seen the original yet, but you know, I've heard enough people say it.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that remake, just like with The Thing, the remake is better than the original. Next one up, funny that we mentioned this movie when we were talking about Jurassic Park, but Jaws.
Jesus Christ.
Jaws is number 6.
Yeah, it fucking proved my point.
Again, though, if we're going to count Jurassic Park, we got to count Jaws was better than Jurassic Park. Number 5. Alien.
This one I agree with completely. Alien, before it got turned into an action series with Aliens, which honestly is still a good movie, Alien was first and foremost a horror movie.
You know what, though? Alien should probably be up on here. Number 4 is a movie that will always have a certain place in my heart because it's my favorite horror director, and it's one of my favorite movies of all time, Night of the Living Dead. I mean,
it's dead.
Huh?
That was nothing.
Ooh, there's a couple good ones on this list too coming up. My favorite
monster movie ever.
Remember how we talked about what
ever?
Yes. Remember how I mentioned what 28 Days Later did for the zombie? Okay.
Number 3 is Godzilla, and I love Godzilla.
I'm still talking about Night of the Living Dead. So trust me, I'm going to get to number 3, but this one and number 3 both need my pontification. So Night of the Living Dead, you know how we talked about what 28 Days Later did for the zombie genre? Well, through more than almost 4 decades after that, or before that, I should say, Night of the Living Dead redefined the zombie genre. Before that, zombies were pretty much just like henchmen of like villains in tropical set horror movies. That's
like,
what they were.
Like zombie.
Yep. Zombie wasn't they weren't henchmen of a tropical bad guy. They were zombies, like in the Romero mold.
I said white zombie.
Oh, white zombie. I thought you just said I only heard the part that said zombie. But Night of the Living Dead, fantastic B movie. That was shot in fantastic, great black and white that just made the mood even better. And it was a ballsy move in the 60s when there was racial tensions, casting a black guy in the lead of a movie, which now it's not a big deal, but back then it was a huge deal. I'm pretty sure that was the first like non-full black cast movie that had a black lead when they had white actors and actresses in there. And then just so many iconic scenes and iconic phrases like, they're coming to get you, Barbara. How many...
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Everyone knows that. Now, the next one on the list. Another just personal favorite, and I'm guessing Cornax too, because he jumped the gun and said it before I finished.
Yes!
Talking about
him.
Godzilla.
Godzilla. Godzilla. Ooh.
Western Echo, punchification. When I said pontification. Godzilla, this I would put this number one on the list if I were making the list. Because, the original Godzilla, and I'm talking about the Japanese cut. I'm not talking about the King of the Monsters cut, which is also great in its own right. But the Gojira version that was originally made in Japan, is the special effects on this movie cheesy? Yes, it's a Japanese monster movie from the 1950s. What the fuck do you expect? Did it have a lot of tension? Yes. Was it a deep movie in terms of commentary? Yes. Godzilla was basically the movie's representation of the H-bomb. And just like the message at the end talking about what we might do to each other if we keep up this rate. Great. Great shit. There is no better movie, as far as the monster genre is concerned, in my mind, than Godzilla. And, I love it. This movie never gets old. Not once. I can watch this or any other Godzilla movie multiple times over. Will never get old. Cornax, comment.
Godzilla! Zilla!
All right. Now...
Fucking love this movie.
Next one is Bride of Frankenstein.
Well, yeah, it was good story.
But Bride of Frankenstein without one mention of the original Karloff Frankenstein?
Bride of Frankenstein had a bit more story, and it was,
Yeah, but again, though, the original Frankenstein, not even on the list.
Whatever.
Although it's been a pretty good list so far. And they're, I don't know. So far, it's been a pretty good list, but there's movies that could have been included on this list. The title of the list was Top 25 Monster Movies.
Okay, well, take Jaws and Jurassic Park out, and then you can have your Frankenstein and your Dracula.
Oh, yeah. And no, Oxtail, I saw your tweet, not horrible monster movies. They're not horrible movies that we've mentioned. They're actually all pretty good movies.
Someone's angry.
Now, the next one on here...
Someone's angry.
Not angry, just pointing out. Shush. The next one is King Kong, which, not a shocker. I knew it was going to be pretty high up there. The only thing I don't like about this list, because, listen, what can we say about King Kong that hasn't been said about Godzilla, pretty much? They both should have been one and two on this list.
Well, let's think of it this way. King Kong is not as big as Godzilla. And thus, he has a smaller penis, and thus he is not important, and thus Godzilla is the king.
Yeah. And Dennis...
Plus, king of monsters, so should be number one, so fuck all you hoes.
Yeah. The exact wording on the list is top 25 monster movies. But, again, though, this if some of the positioning on this list is kind of ridiculous, and there are movies on here that are very borderline at best... And there's always that weird thing that happens when we talk about these IGN lists. And again, it is Oxtail says subjective. Although, come on, there are some fantastic movies in the list. It's not even if you don't like some of the movies, they're not all bad movies on here. But and again, while it is subjective, there's got to be some fucking common sense at some point. How is Gremlins as low on the list as it is?
Subjective.
I try to remember that it's subjective, but at the same time, I'm just what the fuck? Granted, I can't make the argument for Cabin in the Woods being higher because... Yeah, Dennis is saying top 25 movies makes it pretty much an opinion. You have to define... Yeah, he does have to define the criteria for top, which he doesn't in the article. But I do believe that two of the top three would make most any list as far as like counting down monster movies for a multitude of reasons. Oxtail, The Avengers wasn't on the list, and that's an awesome monster movie. Yeah, technically, if you want to, like, it had monsters in there, so technically, that could be considered a monster movie.
Now you're just pushing it.
I'm not. Well, listen, they considered a movie about a great white shark and prehistoric animals monster movies.
Yeah, I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying, you know.
For fuck's sake, you don't even see the fucking shark for about 80% of Jaws. At least you get the Hulk and the Skrulls.
And same could be said for... Well, okay, never mind. I'm not going to... Yeah.
Like, his inclusion of Jaws on this list made it so that... it made it so that it was very wide open. Way too wide open. Oh, and another thing, too. What is Super 8 not doing on this list? Super 8, another one that should be on there. Western Echo says Monster with Charlize Theron should be on it. Sex in the City is his top monster movie. No, that's the top equestrian movie. Monsters, Inc. is another one that was mentioned that people think should be on the list. I feel like this also that this guy kind of stayed too much into the horror genre.
You know, I'm just realizing that it's an IGN article, and don't they usually do these to piss people off?
Well, if they do, they're doing a pretty good fucking job of it.
Yeah. I think we've fallen into their trap.
We kind of have. They pretty much IGN trolled us.
Yes. Well, you, honestly. Me. Let's not get me involved, you.
No, it's called doing show prep a little later than I wanted to because I was watching Andrew Luck getting just the football equivalent of buttfucked by the New England Patriots.
Bunchy likes to watch men get buttfucked.
No, it's actually quite rough. I mean, listen. we've seen the shower scene in America.
Sure, getting fucked in the butt is quite rough.
All right, shut up for a second. But we've all seen the shower scene in American History X. Come on now. No comment, Cornax? None? Really? What? What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
So that was the top 25 monster movies list. I'm going to go into comics for a few minutes. Because let's just say that DC is doing the same thing to the Green Lantern portion of their universe that they've done to the Batman one, which is have one title and then do five or six different offshoots. So DC has decided that they're going to have a new series coming out in April 2014. And there's going to be a book based on the character Sinestro. That's right, guys. Sinestro is getting his own book. The top bad guy in Green Lantern. Getting his own title.
Well, and, you know, he was kind of good towards the end, you know, when he became the White Lantern. And
yeah, he kind of did, but then he got he became bad again and killed the Guardians, so
well,
there's that.
Let's be honest, the Guardians are kind of dicks.
They kind of, yeah, they you know what, they kind of had it coming, so fuck him. He does deserve his own title.
You know.
What is these? Now, another thing I got to point out, we're going to do some tech news.
We are?
Yeah, we are.
Are we?
Yeah, because I want to cover more bases. We went through that meeting, and now here I am again destroying the fourth wall.
At a meeting?
Well, yeah, I consider a 5-minute conversation before we started a meeting.
You know, all right.
Here I am breaking the fourth wall again.
Not really. Because if you were, you would be reading exactly what you sent me on Skype.
Telling you to mute or anything on Skype?
everything. And to be fair, let's move on. This is becoming uncomfortable.
What? Because there's not everything on here. There's just me posting the show prep. Fucking relax. Anyway.
No, I just thought we were staying on this topic.
Yeah, we're staying on the fucking topic. All right, so at CES, Samsung Galaxy S5, it's been announced that the phone will be due for April.
So I should not get a new phone until April. Got it.
I would wait. Now,
even though my current one is busted and the touchscreen doesn't work, and yeah.
So with the phone coming out in April, I'm sure sometime in March is when we're going to get the official unveiling. But they've actually also released a new kind of smartphone called the Samsung Curved Galaxy Round. Or it's a Galaxy Round. It's curved. Like, curved in the way that it's, like, if you're looking at the bottom of the phone, it's not a U-shape, but it's not flat.
It's shaped like the palm of your hand.
Yeah, it's shaped like the palm of your hand, which I think will probably be good so that your cheek doesn't end calls.
Yeah, pretty much,
you know. But the Galaxy S5 will, you know, again, the next incarnation. Hopefully it won't be just the same model as far as what it looks like.
Well, let's be fair. Samsung isn't Apple.
Yeah, good point. They're not going to just fucking do bullshit and be like, hey, guess what, guys? Ha-ha! We're going to do the same fucking phone for five generations, and then we're going to be like, hey, look, Android has overtaken us. Maybe we should do something about it. Why the fuck not? So then you got that. And also I want to point out the fact that this is, granted, this would more be something that would be reserved for Markout Radio, but I do feel like this should be mentioned because it is going to be a game changer for things related to the Nerd Hour, and that would be the fact that WWE announced that they are going to be starting their network this week at CES.
Oh, finally.
And
it took them fucking long enough.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing they're going to do, and this is interesting. They're going to include all pay-per-views on this network. And the network is going to be $10 a month.
That's a pretty good deal, seeing as how WrestleMania last year costed $60 and it kind of sucked. You know, I'd rather pay $10 and I wouldn't really mind that much if the pay-per-view sucked.
Yeah. Like,
and plus, I would get a bunch of other older pay-per-views anyway that I could watch. And it's like, oh, hey, I could watch Undertaker beating the shit out of John Cena in this pay-per-view from 2003.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Every WWE pay-per-view, I think it said every WCW and ECW pay-per-view would also be on it.
So you know what that means, folks.
You know what that fucking means, because they're going to do an on-demand service.
Chris Benoit.
I'm waiting. All right, stop.
All right, fine. Yes, you will have. They will have to include pay-per-views with Chris Benoit.
And they've already said that he will not be edited out.
Groovy.
So, you know, there's that. They're doing a show called Legends House, which is like a reality show with the Legends. NXT
is basically Runs House, but with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. then there's going to be an NXT special on February.
Wow, 22. How dated was that reference? That was Runs House. Wow.
Way dated. But we're going to get the NXT live special on the 27th. And they've already set it up to be an awesome card. So they're going to do that. And again, and this is why I wanted to bring up the pay-per-views again. You're going to – granted, they request six-month what was the term? A six-month commitment when you sign up. So you probably are going to have to pay $60 right out of the gate.
Oh,
whatever. You get a whole shitload of stuff to watch.
That's what I was saying.
You would only get on DVD otherwise, which in the long run would probably cost you more money to get them on DVD because you'd have to pay, well, if I want this, I'll have to pay $20 for this DVD.
That's what I was getting at, though. Paying $60 for 6 months of WWE Network, which includes pay-per-views. Now, if you're the person who buys pay-per-views a lot, at $60 a pop, over 6 months, if you're just ordering pay-per-views, let's see, 6 times 6, let's see, 120 times 3 would be $360. That's how much you spend for 6 months of WWE pay-per-views if you buy them and don't stream them like a normal person. All right? So if you're paying for that, you're pretty much getting fucked. No, instead you can pay for the channel for $10 a month, technically, or $60 every 6 months, however you want to fucking put it together. Still, you're paying 1/6 of what you would pay just to get the pay-per-views, and you're getting all sorts of other stuff. Plus, you know, they'll have Raw and SmackDown replays on there. They're pretty much not going to have to be dependent on Hulu Plus anymore. I'm sure they'll put Superstars and Main Event on there at some point. Although probably not Main Event because they're trying to package their main TV shows for advertisers for that kind of money. Now, what's going to be the game changer on this one is the fact that, again, it's going to change how pay-per-views are handled. There's going to be less of a reliance on pay-per-view. Let's face it, if pay-per-view loses that and UFC, it's pretty much just going to be fucking movies. Again, that will lead to a failure of pay-per-view. Like, pay-per-view runs on the fact that they've got WWE and UFC right now. So if they lost both of them, they'd be so fucked. And it's just like when Louis C.K. started self-releasing everything, it's a smart business model on WWE's part. Because look at it. A lot of the people who don't normally buy pay-per-views are going to buy this network. Because they're justifying it as, yeah, it's the channel, but I'm paying $10 a month and getting every pay-per-view live. So why? Why order the pay-per-view? Why fucking go on to a Russian website that gives you 8 million pop-ups just to watch one pay-per-view? No.
Why do you go to the Russian websites? Go to the British websites.
Well, I go to British ones where they look at Biggie Langston and call him Biggie N-Wordston.
You turn off the chat. That's what I do.
No, sometimes the chat can be hilarious, though.
Allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly, because I would never have stolen WWE pay-per-views when I was watching WWE.
Oh, please. I've gotten letters from Cablevision telling me to stop downloading WWE events because WWE's like, yeah, hey, he's downloading our shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez, dude. Get Verizon.
Yeah, you know. But
they don't do that shit. At least not to me.
Yeah. But still, though. And again, Oxtail, I do feel gypped when I order a pay-per-view. You usually do. Because they got fucking Randy Orton winning the title and being boring the next night on Raw. You've got Daniel Bryan winning a title and then being stripped of it the next day. So, just, oh. And Red Sox talking about people showing up. Gary promises to remove clothing. So, you're welcome, everyone, listeners, by the way, for us not doing a show last week because it led to that gold. Drunk Gary Cantrell. But I said earlier, I respect any game-changing decision. Because like I said, it shows that a company is willing to adapt to the new times. You don't need to have network contracts that puts a lot of these shows out or a lot of these specials out. You don't need it anymore. You can make your own channel. You can do it through your own means, especially if you've got the money to do so. Like I said, when Louis C.K. self-released stuff. And it's a lot easier for a director to make a movie and put it on YouTube, for example. Like a short movie, put it on YouTube. Wasn't as simple back then. Everything's digital now. So, it's just going to be so much easier to do things without having to play via the corrupt, shitty systems that a lot of these industries are part of. Which is, I just respect it. And I want to see it succeed. And WWE Network is going to succeed because, like I said, even the smarkiest of the smarks are going to be like, hey, wait a second. I pay $10 a month and I get the pay-per-view. And it's going to have an app on a PS3, which means you can watch it on TV and only pay $10 a month. And just like you look at the Louis C.K. thing, spend $5, get a video copy of the comedy special where it's any format. You can put it on your own disc, and not only that, but Louis C.K. gave the people who bought the special special features to put onto a disc and artwork. That's what he do. Now, another thing I want to point out too is just for the last few minutes to kill some time. That's the fact that The Walking Dead, bravo fucking Kirkman. You have been killing it with your comic series yet again. There was a bit of a lull. He kind of let his characters feel a little too safe. Now there's a storyline going on called All Out War. It very well may be the best Walking Dead story since the Woodbury versus Prison Crew fight that lasted over a span of a few issues. Holy crap. What happened in the latest issue that came out this past week was, like, just when you thought that maybe Rick's group may get a slight bit of an upper hand, surprise attack by Negan that just catches everybody off guard. Like, and the way that it's set up, people are going to die the next issue. That it's just how it is. There are people who will die in the group. And I'm guessing that there might even be a major character death. Probably not Rick, probably not Carl. Could be Andrea, who in the comic is now dating Rick. No spoiler alert, because I'm not gonna really give any details about what happened. The way the issue was set up this week, someone's gonna be crying.
Well, Carl, because he always cries.
Not in the comic, dude. Carl's.
I know.
Comic
Carl is a badass, and he has one eye, and everyone loves him.
Yeah, why does Red Sox not like The Walking Dead? Carl in the comic has one eye like you do.
Jesus Christ.
Well, it's true. Here's the thing, Dennis. With the difference between the show and the comic, like, Andrea was, I think, 12 years younger in the comic than she was in the TV show. So her and Amy weren't twins, but they were a lot closer in age. She wasn't as whiny, and her and Dale were actually dating in the comic before Dale died. And Shane died went much earlier because Kirkman wasn't sure whether or not it was going to last that long. So he wanted to wrap up the Rick and Shane Lori love triangle before that happened. He didn't want to just be canceled. And of course, now he realizes that, hey, I could have done that. And that's why Shane lasted a lot longer. Another one. Yeah, Red Sox, you are mean, punchy, very mean. But Shane dies a lot earlier in the comic than he does in the show. Dale, Oxtail, before I say the next thing, what issue are you up to in The Walking Dead? I'm going to be nice. I'm going to try to make sure that I'm not spoiling it. I don't know where you are. But I'll wait until he says what issue he's on. Just so I can, you know.
God damn it, my mic was muted.
Good. I can only imagine what you were propping up.
Well, I farted into the mic.
Then I'm glad it was muted. Like another difference too. another difference: the Dixon brothers, not in the comic.
Go.
What?
The smell.
Well, maybe you shouldn't fucking fart where you're about to talk.
Oh God! At least I don't have an actual microphone, so you know.
Yeah, but like.
You know, at least no one's farted in my beverage.
Oh yeah.
Jesus, poor Joe. What the fuck? Hammy's a fucking animal. Poor Joe.
Well, Joe's going to get his revenge for this Friday on Brain Stew.
Well, oh, yeah, because of the Brain Stew Bowl, but Jesus yeah. Christ.
So Dale...
nigga farted in his beverage.
Dale dies much earlier in the show than he does in the comic. Also, again, Andrea ends up dating Rick in the comic. Again, though she's younger and not as bitchy and not as whiny. Glenn gets killed by Negan in issue 100. And it's a fucking – it's a sad death. But it just shows – like it cements that Negan is a character not to be fucked with and brings a sense of dread back to the comic. And I think The Walking Dead has been firing on all cylinders since that issue.
Wait. Didn't Glenn make Carl cry by – you know, being insensitive about his eye or something.
No, that was Negan.
Oh, that was Negan who did that.
Okay. Then it says, well, Glenn is still going to die. But no, what happens in the comic obviously has no bearing when it comes to who lives and dies. Because Tyrese is still alive. And the way the way Herschel dies in the TV show is the way Tyrese dies in the comic.
Tyrese is dead in the comic?
Shut up. You know what? I'm not going to get shit because I'm spoiling something that's 5 years old.
I'm joking. Jesus. Butt hurt.
You know what, Red Sox? Stop trolling. Who else? Fucking... I already said mentioned Andrea. Morgan eventually comes back and eventually dies in the comic. Like, and he, meanwhile, he's barely been shown on there. But... Western Echo thinks Glenn dies this season on the show. You never know. I think with him, it depends on if the actor starts getting movie work. So we'll see. But there's a character being introduced who's from the comics, who's an awesome character, Abraham Ford. I cannot wait for that character to be introduced because he looks pretty much like the comic book version. The actor they picked. So I just think it's going to be great. But I really hope they bring in Negan. Because, like, and the other thing, too, because I feel like with Negan, they can actually do the stuff that he does in the comic. Whereas with the governor, I could understand why
they can't exactly have rape.
Yeah. Listen, as much as it was awesome seeing how fucked up the governor is, I don't know if him just raping the shit. Out of just raping the shit out of Michonne would have flown.
Well, then again, Spike almost raped Buffy and Buffy the Vampire Slayer years ago. Granted, it didn't actually happen, but you know, let's move on.
Yeah. Western Echo, it's a simple formula. They need a main character death for drama, and Glenn is the most expendable. Yeah, but you know what, though? It depends. Do they want to go with the most expendable, or do they want to go with the biggest impact? Impact would be. As much as I don't like this saying this, because I like the character and I like the actor, Daryl. Could you imagine just the absolute backlash that would happen?
Which is why it won't.
But then again, which is why... Also very, oh my God, that woman is talented. Derailment. And Western Echo, they have to keep Daryl for ratings. Daryl is not going anywhere. True, but again, though, if they wanted to do a truly shocking moment, more shocking than Herschel, that's who you kill off. But, again, he's right. There are a lot of people who would say fuck this show if he got killed. And it's almost a hindrance to the show too, because again, I like the character, I like the actor, but you've made a Kim, between the actor and the way he's been written, you've made a character that you're pretty much stuck with having to just, you know, having to not kill the character or risk alienating everybody. Now, man, I don't know, but I'm looking at the group now. So many people dead, and so many people you don't know what's going to happen with them yet. But you know what's funny too? I'm looking at a wikia of The Walking Dead, and it's showing the Atlanta nursing home guys from the first season. Like everyone just put status unknown. They're dead. You know how I know they're dead? Watch the special features in The Walking Dead Season 2 that shows in a scene they were going to add in the pilot where they go back to that hospital for shelter and they just see everybody dead. That's right. Wow. I still can't believe, though, with the backlash with Herschel, if Glenn dies or if Daryl dies, I can only imagine that backlash. So, aside from that, guys, it's been fun. We are the Nerd Hour. Cornax.
Yes.
And give him your Twitter name.
CornaxMLR.
On Twitter. Go check him out. And not only that, guys, but let's just watch awesome things. Get ready for The Walking Dead when it comes back, because I feel like they're gonna start hitting a stride. They're finally starting to get into the comic, so I think it's gonna be great things to come, and we're gonna get Abraham, and the comic is just gonna continue to hit on all cylinders. And with that, guys, we are the Nerd Hour. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that by following @CMPunchy. I do half the shows in the station, pretty much. Brainstew Radio, which, hey, guys, next week, guess what? Coletta gets to teabag Hammy's equipment for 10 minutes, and Hammy must use it, not knowing what's been teabagged. Also, Sully Show tomorrow, noon to 2. 360 on 420, Sundays and Thursdays, 11 until 2.
11 until whenever he falls asleep.
Well, for me, 11 until whenever I fall asleep. Markout Radio, Wednesdays, 11 to 1. If you're missed, also check out other More Like Radio shows. Hippo Juice, 7 to 9. They just interviewed Chris Parnell. That episode's up on morelikeradio.org. Cousin Joe Show, which is 3 hours of fantastic material, followed by an hour of funny prank calls to hookers. All right. What else do we have here? We've got Antisocial Gamer Radio during the afternoons on Tuesdays, along with OSW Review. Followed by Alcohol by Volume, followed by Unsigned Hype, followed by Dutch and Royce. You've got Mondays with Lust and Love and Conte and Kenny. Hey, you want to suggest a new name for Lust and Love? Because they're rebranding. Hit them the fuck up. Check it out, and then you can win a Google Play card. We've got that. Going over to Thursdays again, Cousin Joe and 360 and 420. Wednesdays, we've already said. Fridays, Brainstew Radio, along with Talk Radio Meltdown and High Society Radio. Saturdays, It's All About Me, starring Halls and Rorschach, along with The Orange Room, starring Foams, and then this show, The Nerd Hour.
Yay! It all comes back to us. We are the center and the soul of this station. We are the most important thing in the world, and you should all worship us.
No, we're not.
Good night!
Have a good night, guys. Also, before I forget, and I didn't mean to forget, but also, I feel bad now because I'm doing a run through. And also, don't forget, Sundays, the fucking just fucking pros on the shoot every Sunday from 4 to 6. Last but not least, motherfuckers, Have a good night.
Whores.